You're listening to the Revolution Church Podcast. To learn more, including our gathering times in Crossville, Tennessee, visit us at crossvillerevolution.com.
All right, Rev Church, what's going on? Everybody say, woo! Special weekend, what is it, y'all? Easter. In a very distant second, it's WrestleMania weekend. That's why we're quoting Ric Flair, okay, y'all? So, y'all feel like sardines yet? Say, yeah, buddy. Good. Hopefully you don't smell like sardines. Look at your neighbor and say, did you wear your deodorant? You know what I mean? Hey, just want to reiterate one announcement that Alex, who is our Rev Students Minister, made. Next Sunday is a Student Sunday here at Revolution Church. We put it the week after Easter on purpose because we're doing everything we can to get more teenagers involved on Sunday mornings. We have no interest in just party on Wednesday nights and having a bunch of students show up. We want to disciple them. We want these young folks to become leaders now. We think they're called to carry their cross now. And so next week, we've already got like almost 100 teenagers signed up to serve. It's going to be an incredible weekend. So yeah. They minister to about 200 students all in all. And so you guys make sure you're here. If you're older in here, don't be like, oh, it's Student Sunday, I can't come. You need to be here. You got to be here to support them. And I promise you, it'll energize you to see these kids and their faith and what all God's doing in the student ministry. It'll be incredible. Amen, Rev Church. Secondly, everybody had one of these on your seat when you sat down. If you guys on the rows that have the seats put out don't have one, the ushers will grab one and pass them down to you. Everybody hold up your card like this for me, your card like this, okay? We did have to put out some seats, so you guys get those to them with a pen. Easter is the biggest weekend of the year. And so I'm going to try to take advantage of that by essentially doing a survey that will really help us out, y'all. We've got a few questions on here we're asking you all to answer, and you can put your name and information, but please put your age down and answer these questions. What is your most pressing prayer request? What is your greatest worry? What are you struggling with the most? This is going to help me the rest of the year figure out what it is I need to teach and help people with. It's going to help our ministries. And when we look at our senior ministries, what are they worried about? What do we need to help them with? What can we help them apply the scripture to in their life? So if you will, even if you're not a regular here, if you're just here one time, you came to church with your mom, you're wearing the pastel shirt because you love her, okay? y'all know what I'm saying? Fill that out for us because it really helps us out. As a preacher, I kind of get in my own box in my little church world, and I need you guys to help me out every once in a while, so please fill that out. Will y'all do that for me? Say, oh yeah. Oh, yeah. Say it like I said it with a high voice. I don't know why I did that. Say, oh yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, today we're celebrating the good news here at Revolution Church, just like every church around the world is. And today you're going to get an extra bang for your buck. We're going to talk about three forms of news, not just the good news. We're going to talk about the bad news, the fake news, and the good news. If you were to ask everybody in here, do you want the bad news first or the good news? The overwhelming majority of people would say, give me the bad news first. Hit me with a hammer first so we can end on a positive note. So, everybody say bad news. Bad news. Here is the bad news. Every single person in here, every person that's joining us online right now, you are what we call in the church world a sinner. Everybody say sinner. Now say it like an old Baptist preacher. Look at the person next to you and point at him and say, sinner. Y'all know what I'm talking about. We're all sinners. I'll never forget, my dad's at this service, and one time we were driving home from church in Chattanooga when I was a teenager, and we were at a red light, and two guys were cussing each other through their car doors. And then they got out of their cars, and they were about to have a fist fight, and they were both wearing three-piece suits. Now, clearly, this was on a Sunday, midday. These two guys had just went to church, and they're getting ready to fist fight at a red light. Isn't that awesome, y'all? Amen. Like, that's okay. Man, even us Christians, we're sinners. Even when we accept Christ, we blow it constantly. We can't get it straight. I'll just be honest with y'all. I'm a preacher, but preachers are not perfect. We're no different than y'all. I can, like, get in here on a Sunday and preach a great sermon. I mean, it's a banger, man. People are getting ministered to. People are getting saved. The house is packed. I go home, and within an hour of getting home, my wife and I are fighting, and I'm acting like a big, fat baby. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Anybody's husband ever act like a big, fat baby? Raise your hand. Why y'all clapping? What's that about? Y'all need counseling. You know what I mean? Like, I can't even get it straight, y'all. None of us can get it straight. Every one of us is a sinner. There's no such thing as a perfect human. You saw Billy Graham in the lead up to the service today. Billy Graham's a sinner. Mother Teresa's sinner, whoever you think it is, they're broken. Romans chapter 3, verse 23 says, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That word sin, don't overcomplicate it. That's a big church word, okay? Maybe you don't know what that means or understand the context. It means this. Every single person in here, every person joining us online, we have things that we have done, we have said, we've participated in, or we thought that we regret. You think back to some of the stuff you've done, and you go, I can't believe I did that. I'm so ashamed. If I had a time machine and knew what I knew now, I would go back and never do that again. Yeah, you would. Yeah, you would. You know why? Because you're broken. We're all messed up. I love that this verse says we've fallen short of the glory of God. What that means is God is perfect, and we don't measure up to God. And I hate to say this, but perfection is the standard that we are all going to be judged by, and none of us meet that standard. We all fall short of it. Y'all help me. What's our saying here, our slogan here? No perfect people allowed. So if you're perfect in here, I mean, I don't know how you're going to get out of here, this place back, right? But you got to leave. You got to go find another church, you know? None of us are perfect. Look at your neighbor and say, you ain't perfect. You know what I mean? Now look at somebody else maybe that you don't know. Let's make this awkward. Like, this is great for preachers like me because we're so packed. Look at somebody else and say, and you're even worse than they are. Like, you're worse than them. Say it. I've seen your Instagram. You're nuts. 1 John chapter 1, verse 8, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. My son, named Titus, is 14 years old. He turned 14 on April 15th on tax day. I don't know what that means. But he's 6'3" and about 230 to 240 pounds at 14 years old. But I can still whoop him, y'all. Y'all know what I'm saying? I tell them that all the time. I've taught you everything you know, but I ain't taught you everything I know. Y'all know what I'm saying? Dad's in here know what I'm talking about. But big old kid. Well, when he was a baby, he was born with a small little birthmark on his face. And a few years ago when he was a child, he was at my dad's house, and they had eaten pizza or something, and my mom was trying to wipe his face clean because kids get it all over their face. Well, she kept trying to get this one spot off of his face, rubbing his cheek raw. Finally, my son looks at my mom and says, Nana, that's my birthmark. Here's the idea that I'm trying to unpack. We've all been marked with sin. We're all stained with sin. There's nobody in here that's perfect. Every single one of us has blown it, and that's the bad news. Well, there's also fake news that you need to understand. Everybody say fake news. Before President Donald Trump got into politics, he was known to my generation for a TV show that was very popular in the 2000s. Does anybody know what that show was? The Apprentice. The Apprentice. And you watch that show because at the end of the show, Donald Trump would do something. He would bring people in. He would look at one person and he would say his tagline at the time, which was, do y'all know it? You're fired. You're fired. Everybody say that. You're fired. Well, now that he's gotten into politics, he's known for another phrase, really, probably he's most popular for. And whenever President Trump is at a gathering of reporters, a press conference or something, and no matter which side of the aisle you fall on, you got to admit this is pretty comical when it happens. He'll look at a liberal news outlet and he will say, you're fake news. Everybody say it in your Trump voice. Say, you're fake news. You're just fake news. Oh, CNN, fake news. What does this idiot have to... And it is kind of funny, y'all. You got to admit, no matter, it makes it interesting, right? Well, there's some fake news that we got to understand in the form of people that are fake Christians. You know, the Nazis were famous for coining this phrase, tell people a lie long enough and they'll believe it. Biggest weekend of the year, Easter weekend, thousands of people will attend Revolution Church. Walking in this sanctuary this weekend is going to be a lot of lies. A lot of lies that people are believing. 2 Timothy chapter 3 says that in the church there's going to be people that have a form of godliness, but they deny its power. In Revelation chapter 3, one of the letters that's written to one of the churches talks about churches and people that will be, we've coined this phrase, lukewarm Christians. And what you need to understand is there's no such thing as a lukewarm Christian. Lukewarm Christian is an oxymoron. And a very close second is government efficiency, right, y'all? And so, see, we all agree on something, you know what I mean? You don't think you're a sinner, but yeah, you agree on that. Jesus said, don't practice righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. When you read through the Gospels, you'll find very quickly that the thing that frustrated Jesus the most, the thing that Jesus called out the most, was what we call people that are hypocrites. In other words, people that look good on the outside, but they're empty on the inside. In other words, people that are completely fake. I want to be transparent with you this weekend that the largest ministry struggle I've had for 18 years, especially on Easter weekend, when we have more people than ever, is trying to figure out how do I, as a pastor, keep my integrity and not just send all of you home happy, feeling good. It's okay if you do go home that way, but how do I instead be a mouthpiece and a pipeline for what it is God wants to say to you today, and how God might want to get spiritually violent with some of you today and sort of give you, so to speak, a slap in the face to wake you up. The hard part for me in ministry is this. How do I stand in front of a room like this that's full of good people and let some of them know you're lost? You got things together. Life's all right for you. You have this form of godliness, but you don't. You don't have a relationship with Jesus. I asked my staff to help me come up with really a litmus test to help us understand this a little more, what I'm trying to say. Some specific things that maybe we could apply that could help us. I've got five of them. This doesn't encompass everything, but for time's sake, we can only go over five. And I'm going to start out with a really strong one, but listen to me as I explain this and we talk about fake news and fake Christians. Number one, fake Christians attend church when it's convenient. As long as sports, weather, and schedule allows. They do it to get their religion in and check it off the list about once a quarter, once every 6 months, once a year. Just enough religion to soothe their conscience. I'm not saying that you have to go to church to be a Christian, a church like ours. But what I am saying is, in my 18 years experience and what I believe the New Testament teaches, I have never met someone that is in a growing relationship with Jesus that isn't somehow connected to a group of believers that might be considered the church. You don't have to come to a church with a big building like ours. It could be a house church. It could be a group. But somehow you're gathering together and worshiping and learning about the Word, and you're praying for each other. It's been my experience that when people aren't involved in some way like that, they're not involved with God. It's Easter weekend, right? And there's a lot of people that come on Easter weekend, maybe nobody in here, but the last time you went to church, or maybe let me phrase it this way, the last time you had an interaction with God was last Easter. 385 days. Since you had an interaction with God, and you think you have a relationship with Him, you think that you're saved. Isaiah 29 says this, and Jesus repeated this in the Gospels, these people come near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Their worship of me is made up of only rules taught by man. Secondly, fake Christians are searching for an experience, not a relationship. An experience, not a relationship. So many times in the church, we've really taught what's known as decisionism. And so many of us have been in a VBS or been at a youth conference or been in a church on a Sunday morning, and there's a very emotional altar call. Nothing wrong with emotions. I have emotional experiences with God all the time. But there's an emotional altar call, and y'all are going to know what I'm describing. And you come up front, and you repeat a prayer, and you think you're good to go after. Most people, when they come to church, most people as it comes to their relationship with God, they just want to feel good. Most folks are just looking for an empty emotional experience rather than a true surrendered life to Jesus. We're so caught up in consumerism and selfishness that many people in the church are concerned with the quality of the car they drive, the house they live in, the vacation they take, more than they are with helping the poor, reaching people that are lost. Colossians chapter 3 says that we're to set our mind on things above, not on earthly things. Thirdly, fake Christians want to fit in. Fake Christians choose what is popular over what is right. Fake Christians care more about what people think of their actions than what God thinks of their hearts and their lives. Fake Christians do just enough to appear good to everyone around them. Jesus said in Luke chapter 6, "Woe to you when all men speak well of you." Revelation chapter 3, verse 1, one of those churches that I told you about that's written to, and it's really talking about people as well. Jesus said this to one of the churches and the people. He said, "I know your deeds. You have a reputation of being alive, but you are dead." Fourthly, fake Christians have not surrendered all to Jesus. If you ask a fake Christian if they love Jesus, they say they love Jesus, and he is indeed a part of their lives, but only a part. They'll give him a section of their time, a section of their money and their thoughts, but he isn't allowed to control their lives. I mean, here's the reality, y'all. Y'all still with me? Say, "I am." We're sitting in Revolution Church in Crossville, Tennessee, off Genesis Road. How much more Bible Belt can y'all get than that? This is the buckle of the Bible Belt, y'all. So everyone in this room has a relationship with Jesus, but the question is, and this is what you have to wrestle with today, what kind of relationship is it? Is he your Savior? You've heard about him, you know about him, but what is he to you? Is he your Savior? Jesus said, "No one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the service in the kingdom of God." Jesus said, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment." Fifthly and finally, fake Christians deceive themselves into thinking that they are saved. They feel secure because they attend church when everybody else does. They respond at an altar call as a child. They were baptized at some point. They come from a Christian family. They vote Republican. They live in America, and they think they're good because of that. But Jesus said, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven." 1 John chapter 3, once again, it says this. Listen to this. This is powerful. "No one who lives in him keeps on sinning. No one who continues to sin has either seen him or known him." Now, I've pulled that out of context, but to understand the context of this, what that's not saying is, once you get saved, you'll be perfect and you'll never sin again. We've already established, we're the folks that get out at the red lights and fistfight each other. We're the folks who the leaders go home, and I just need to clarify this. I'm a preacher, so me and my wife don't fight. We just have fellowship that the neighbors can hear, okay, y'all? That's what we do. So it's not fighting. We don't fight, okay? We're holy rollers, okay, y'all? And so, so we're all sinners, we're all broken. Even if you know Jesus, you're not perfect, we know. What this is speaking to is the fact that when you get saved, Jesus will start to transform you. He makes you new. You'll be changed. You'll be changed from the inside out. The Bible says you'll be given a new heart. You've heard it this way before. Preachers have said Jesus gives you a heart transplant. He replaces your old cold heart of stone with a new live heart. Now, saved people are not perfect, but saved people start to show some of the attributes of what are known as the fruits of the Spirit, at least a little bit when you get saved. I know you'll still struggle with the same things you struggle with sometimes, and you'll go through that process, but you'll start to be more generous, loving, self-controlled, gentle. You'll have joy. You'll be kind. You'll be patient. Listen, y'all. The church has pitched to you guys for years, just come up at this altar call, say this prayer, and you're good. And so many people in the church today, They think they're good because they said that, but the reality is their life looks the exact same after they think they get saved as before. And it's completely unbiblical. You cannot find one scripture to back up the idea that you're going to be the exact same after you get saved. You cannot find one example in scripture to back up the idea that you are going to be the exact same after you get saved. No, the Bible uses words like, we're going to be made new, your former self and your new self. Think about the phrase born again. Think about that. You are going to be born again. A new person because of what Jesus has done for you. One of my mentors, Pastor Tony Wilson, he preached for us at the end of last year. A lot of y'all remember him. He says it this way. He says, if you are what you were, then you ain't. That's bad grammar, but that's good preaching. Can I get a good amen, Rev Church? Amen. If you are what you were, then you ain't. I remember when I was 6 years old, I walked the aisle at a Baptist church. And I said a prayer, and I got baptized. But it was totally empty. I wasn't changed at all. I went through my teenage years and nobody would have looked at me and said, hey man, there's something different about that guy. He loves Jesus. That was completely debaucherous, completely lost. And when I was 18 years old, man, the gospel was really birthed. Like when I was six, God put the gospel here. But when I was 18 years old was when I really got saved and it moved from here to here, if that makes sense. And I put my trust in Christ, and man, I was not perfect by any means. I struggled through a lot, but I was different. Something changed, and I think so many people in the church have a similar testimony. You prayed some prayer to VBS, you prayed some prayer to youth conference, and you think you're good, but you hadn't been changed. And now, hopefully today or sometime soon will be the time when the gospel comes alive in you and it moves from your head to your heart, if that makes sense. Jesus said, there is nothing hidden that will not be disclosed and nothing concealed that will not be known or brought out into the open. He's talking about the fact that every single person in here, we're all going to stand before Christ one day and be judged. And when you stand before God one day and you are judged, there is only two options for how you are going to be judged. One might be that you get to go to heaven with Jesus for eternity. But the only other option is you are separated from God for eternity and go to hell. When you are judged, you will not be asked if you are a good person. You will not be asked if your parents were Christians. They will not ask you if you grew up in Crossville, Tennessee in a Christian culture. They will not say, did you go to church on Easter Sunday and be a good little person? The question will not be, did you have a Bible verse tattooed on your arm? Did you put a Bible verse on your Instagram account or your Facebook? The only question that will be asked is, did you surrender your life to Christ? Did you follow Jesus? Did you believe in Jesus? Have you been washed by the blood of Christ? That's it. That will determine what happens. So now that I've beat y'all down and you're super depressed and half of y'all are saying, why'd we come to church again on Easter? I want you to know there's good news. Everybody say good news.
Good news.
There's bad news, there's fake news, but man, is there good news. And here's the good news. God loves you. God loves you. God looked down and He saw you in your mess. He saw how broken you were, and He said, I love them. In spite of who they are, I love them. But God also knew this. Remember we talked about how God is perfect? God is perfect. So He knew that He couldn't hang out with us in our sinfulness. He knew He couldn't have anything to do with us because He's perfect in our brokenness. Y'all know that old saying? If you lie with dogs, you get what? You get fleas if you lie with dogs, right? God can't get fleas. He's not going to get fleas. So He's not going to lay with us, so to speak, and get fleas. But God made a way. God made a way so that we could hang out with Him, so we could have a relationship with Him, so we could spend eternity with Him, so we could be saved from the consequences of our brokenness and our sinfulness. This is why we celebrate Easter. Easter is a big deal to Christians. I love Easter. Don't y'all love Easter? Amen, y'all. Easter's incredible, right? How many of y'all like Cadbury eggs? Come on, y'all. Cadbury eggs? How about this? I know I'm going to get some amens. Reese eggs, y'all? Ooh, they'll make you slap your mama for not feeding it to you before. Amen, y'all? I told my kids, I said, any Easter candy that's left in your basket when we get home from church, it's fair game. And I'm going to go home and I'm going to go into a diabetic coma. It's going to be great, y'all. Love it. Nothing wrong with bunnies. Nothing wrong with Easter. But in the church, we call it something different. We refer to today as Resurrection Sunday. Because this is the day where we celebrate and it represents the resurrection of Jesus from the dead after he had been murdered. And in the process of Jesus doing this, he defeated death, hell, and the grave. And the results of that is now we can be resurrected. We can become believers. We can become Christians as a result. We can have a relationship with God. We can know him in this life. Can I get a good amen from those of y'all that know this is true? Well, here's the best news about the good news. The best news is that this is a gift that is offered for free. We are saved by grace through faith. What do I mean by that? This is what I mean. Every other major religion in the world besides Christianity, you can go study this, will tell you that in order for you to be right with God, you have to clean yourself up first. Get right before you come to God. Every other major religion says, hey, you better work really hard. Try to do more good stuff than bad stuff and outweigh the bad stuff you've done in your life. And then maybe one day God will accept you because you've done good enough. But that's not what the gospel is, and that's not what the good news is. The good news is Jesus sees us in our mess. He sees you in your brokenness. He sees you in your sickness. And he says, come to me. Come to me. At the foot of the cross, if you fall exactly where you are, you can be saved right where you are. No need to clean yourself up. No need. No, he's going to do that. We'll see that. It's coming. But you can get right where you are. So here's my pitch for you this weekend. And I got a pitch for you. You know it's coming. You've been to Easter services before. Preachers are all selling something, you know. And I don't want this to just be an empty emotional moment. I'm not going to have a piano player playing in the background. I'm not going to tell you some sad story. I just want to talk to you. If you're emotional, that's fine, but I just want to talk to you. Why don't you let Christ transform you? Why don't you let him change you? Why don't you surrender everything to him? It's one thing I know about lost folks and fake Christians. It's that you're worn out, man. Like, aren't you tired? Aren't you exhausted? Aren't you just worn out from kicking the can down the road and thinking one day I'll get right? One day when things calm down, I'll get straight with God. I'll clean this up and then I'll start going to church or I'll commit myself to. Aren't you tired of that? It ain't never going to happen. One day never happens. You ever notice that? Aren't you like exhausted from trying to appear perfect? Trying to make everybody think you got it together? Trying to look good to everybody so you can keep up appearances and keep up with the Joneses? Aren't you sick of like trying to fill that emptiness inside you with all the crap that this world has to offer? You've had the cars, you've had the boats, you've had the houses, you've had the bank accounts, you've had all that stuff, but you still like know, man, I did, something's missing, man. Just come to Jesus. You guys know that old hymn, Just As I Am? Just as I am. Anybody ever heard that before? Just as I am. They played it 30 times at the altar calls when you were a kid at the Baptist church. And you're like thinking, hurry up. How long is this going to take? I think some people just go get fake saved so they'll end the service sometimes. Y'all know what I'm saying? Like, hurry up. I mean, I'm just being real. Y'all are laughing. When y'all laugh at stuff, you know it's because it's true. Great song. Jesus will take you just as you are, no matter how broken, no matter how messed up you are. And understand what I'm saying. You know, many preachers get up here, and I understand what they're doing, but they give you this pitch, and they say, make you feel like this. If you accept Christ, we're going to give you a list of things to do. If you accept Christ, he's going to give you all this work. Don't do this, do this. I understand what they're trying to say. But the problem is what I've found when people want to accept Christ is they're at the end of their rope. They're exhausted. They're overwhelmed. Like if that's you today, you woke up this morning going, I don't know how I'm going to make it through this day. I don't know how I'm going to get through this week. You're already planning on like calling the doctor tomorrow and saying, you got to up my dose. Like I don't know how I'm going to make it. And so when you give people like that more to do, it's more exhausting. So if you're worn out, if you're exhausted, if you're overwhelmed, you need to know that Jesus offers you rest. Jesus said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. If you fall at the foot of the cross, you'll finally feel like you can breathe. You can get through this life because you'll never have to go through this life alone again once you have Jesus. So we're going to do something right now that we don't normally do at Revolution Church. I'm going to be totally honest with you. We rarely do this. I'm going to lead a salvation prayer. We're not having an altar call because, you know, people got to come downstairs and we don't want people to fall and stuff like that. But that's what essentially this is. But you're going to do it from your seat. And like I said, we don't normally do this. It's very rare that we do this because we don't want it to just become dead religion. Like I talked about at the altar call, you're going, hurry up. And we don't want it to just be empty emotionalism. But we prayed about this week and we said, man, we really need to help people kickstart and begin their relationship with Jesus if they don't know how to do that. And so I'm going to lead a prayer for folks in here that say, man, I don't know Christ. I've never known him, or I'm just a fake Christian. And I've been playing church games with God, going a little here, a little there, but majority of the year, I don't even know if I'm saved. People ask me, are you going to heaven? And I say stuff like, I hope so. Today you can know so. Please don't misunderstand me either. I'm not just trying to make everybody feel guilty in here. Maybe you're in here and you are saved. You do know Christ. But man, it's been a long time. It's been a long time since you sat down with him. In Revelation, again, one of those churches, Jesus speaks to the church and speaks to the people in the church and says, you've forgotten your first love. You need to come back to your first love. For some of y'all, you've forgotten your first love, man. You've gotten away from God. You've been out there doing your own thing, living it up, having a good time. You're worn out. And it's time to, as we say in the church, you need to rededicate your life. You just need to say, God, I've been an idiot. I'm sorry. I'm the prodigal. I need to come home. So you might need to adjust this prayer if that's you, but this is a salvation prayer. Somebody say, everybody, bow your head and close your eyes. And as I say this prayer, I want to encourage you to just repeat it after me. You can put it in your own words, but repeat it after me. You can say it out loud if you want to. You can say it quietly, or you can say it in your head. Right now, this moment is not about going public with your faith. We're going to help you and teach you when you go public with your faith. Right now, this moment is about some people in here that need to do business with God. You need to get right with him. And you need to quit playing games. So just repeat this prayer for me if that's you. Lord, I'm exhausted. I'm tired of doing it my way. tired of trying to be perfect. I'm exhausted from just following religion. I feel empty. And I feel like I have no hope. And I don't want to be like this anymore. I know that I'm going to stand before Jesus one day and be judged. And I want to make sure I don't go to hell when this happens. I believe in you, God. I believe that your Son, Jesus Christ, came to this earth to save sinners like me from hell. I believe Jesus died on a cross for my sins and rose from the dead 3 days later. And because of that, Jesus is the God-man. Jesus is the King of Kings. Because of that, Jesus is Lord of all. Jesus is God in the flesh. And because of that, Jesus has the power to set me free and forgive me. I surrender all to Jesus. I believe in Jesus. From this moment forward, I'm going to do the best I can to follow Jesus. And I give my life to Jesus. Jesus, if you will you save me? Everybody look at me real quick. That card that you had, that I had you fill out for the survey earlier, at the very bottom of it, there's four things. It says, today I've decided to. If you just got saved, check the box that says to follow Jesus. If you recommitted your life, check the box that says to recommit my life to Jesus. And here's what we're going to do. We're going to text you. We're not going to like bring 10 people to your house and hang out for 12 hours, okay? Y'all, I know how y'all are. You're like, oh, the Christians are here. Close the curtains. Lock the door. Turn off the TV. Ah, the Baptists are coming. The Baptists are coming. You know what I mean? We're just going to text you because we just want to serve you. We just want to serve you. We just want to serve you. We want to love you the best we can. We want to help you. That's it. We got no other agenda. We just want to serve you. But if you're in here and you're kind of kicking the tires of this whole Christianity thing, you've been thinking about it, you've been going down some rabbit holes on YouTube, trying to figure out, do you believe in Jesus, do you not, but you're not ready, there's a box on here, I'm not ready to follow Jesus, but I'm close. And even if you're in here and you're like, man, y'all are crazy, this Jesus thing is all a bunch of hogwash, y'all are nuts, I'm just here again with my parents or with my neighbor or whatever, and I don't even want to have anything to do with Jesus, there's a box on there that you can check. All we're going to do is pray for you. If you haven't accepted Christ yet, we're just going to pray for you by name. That's it. What's it going to hurt for you to check that? We're just going to pray for you. That's it. Let me pray for you guys and we'll be dismissed. Lord, we love you. We thank you for what you've done today, what you've done this weekend at Rev Church. It's incredible to see your people gathered together. Thank you for the resurrection. Thank you for saving us, God. I pray for those in here that have not accepted Christ, but you are clearly calling them and drawing them to yourself. I pray, God, that you put people in their lives that love Jesus and that they cannot deny there is something different about them than other people. I pray you give them dreams that mess with them, God. I pray that Jesus is everywhere in their life and they cannot deny that Jesus is real. So that one day, very soon, they can get into the kingdom of God and get saved. And one day, we can all spend eternity in heaven together. We thank you for what you've done. And Jesus, today, we thank you for who you are. In Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen.
If you're encouraged by today's message, be sure and rate us and subscribe on iTunes.